The FCC just hit the gas on two fronts. It approved T-Mobile's spectrum swap with Grain under tight direct-to-device terms, and it cleared a major AT&T copper retirement in California, while reliability hiccups and heavy capex keep testing execution.
Who actually gains here, and how fast do customers feel it?
The headline move is the swap. T-Mobile trades out its 800 MHz licenses and gets Grain's 600 MHz holdings plus $2.9 billion in cash. The 600 MHz slice is 10 MHz, reaching about 15% of the U.S. population. Grain picks up an 800 MHz portfolio that covers nearly the entire country.
Does that move the needle? Or is this just spectrum musical chairs?
The FCC said assigning the 600 MHz to T-Mobile is likely to result in greater capacity, speed, and reliability. And its spectrum screens weren't tripped. Analyst Roger Entner called it very well played, noting T-Mobile monetizes the 800 MHz it couldn't use post-Sprint and brings 600 MHz onto its network quicker because it already had leases in place.
Grain now holds a near-nationwide low-band footprint. What stops them from warehousing it?
Unusually tough build rules. Interim at 3 years and final at 8 years, license by license, not the 6 and 12 Grain wanted. The D2D path is tied to a transparent partner process. Kick off by August 7th, finish by November 5th, and file full satellite applications by December 4th, 2026. AST Space Mobile is in the mix, but nothing's awarded. Miss those dates, and you lose the certainty of defined performance metrics. Miss the final build, and the license can terminate. The FCC also warned against license-saver builds and against partitioning that leaves big gaps unserved, and it explicitly allows terrestrial, utilities, or private enterprise uses. This is a forced utilization regime.
So, the bargaining power shifts. T-Mobile gets cash and deployable 600 MHz now. Grain's upside depends on hitting government clocks.
Exactly. And the bar for D2D is high. By November 30th, 2029, performance has to hit at least 5 dB SINR, with service up 70% of the time in 90% of each licensed area. By 2036, 10 dB SINR and 90% over 90% uptime. That turns D2D from the slide into service obligations.
Bring in the money angle. Earlier this week, we talked about Verizon's $3.2 billion spectrum spree. Does T-Mobile's $2.9 billion cash inflow change its posture?
It helps. They convert a divestiture into cash and low band they can light up. And with CTIA showing U.S. mobile data at 132 trillion megabytes in 2024, low band capacity matters for rural coverage and fixed wireless access headroom. Money is flowing into spectrum you can deploy and away from assets you can't monetize under today's rules.
Let's zoom to the second acceleration, legacy shutdowns. What did the FCC do?
On June 29th, the FCC cleared AT&T to discontinue copper voice services at more than 184,000 locations in California. AT&T's request for the agency to preempt California's own retirement rules is still pending. The federal green light is in, but whether the state's constraints are overridden remains undecided. Meanwhile, T-Mobile confirmed it will retire its 2G GSM network by August 3, 2026. After keeping GSM longer than AT&T, which shut in 2017, and Verizon, which shut in 2020. T-Mobile is also notifying some customers on 3G, 4G era rate plans about migrations to newer and potentially pricier 5G plans.
Who pays to swap out the old stuff? Alarm panels, M2M sensors, rural lift stations.
Enterprises and municipalities will shoulder device replacements and truck rolls unless they negotiated lifecycle coverage. Practical playbook. Triage fleets now, identify 2G dependencies, map AT&T copper addresses, and stage replacements to avoid forced conversions later. We're also seeing the broader unwind of legacy video, with Dish DBS filing for bankruptcy after an AT&T deal snag. Another sign that stranded assets tied to old platforms are losing protection.
And states can slow things down. If the FCC doesn't preempt California's rules, AT&T faces a patchwork. That's execution drag and customer confusion.
Right. The structural shift is still one way, toward fiber and wireless, but the path is uneven. timing risk is real where 911 requirements or carrier of last resort obligations bind. For now, bargaining power is split. Carriers need to modernize. States and localities can set the pace unless Washington steps in.
Third thread, reliability under stress. Verizon had fresh service disruptions on the East Coast. Reports centered around New York City, Brooklyn, and Boston. Dutchess County officials even warned some users might not reach 911 and advised Wi-Fi calling if phones showed SOS.
That's significant. And remember, in our previous episode, we covered Verizon's West Texas fiber cut and resilience narrative. Two visible incidents in a month keep public safety and SLAs front and center. And they raise questions on fixed wireless churn if home internet outages stack up.
Meanwhile, T-Mobile COO just framed wireless as America's next great infrastructure project, saying AI tools will depend on cloud connectivity. Big promise, but if networks blip, the AI pitch breaks.
Which brings us to balance sheets. AT&T's stock is off 27.5% year over year. Yet, it's pushing convergence. 294,000 postpaid phone adds with 0.89% churn. 400G wavelengths in 40-plus metros, covering 440,000 properties, serving 2.3 million business tenants, and OneConnect bundling fiber plus wireless. Guidance targets 3-4% adjusted EBITDA growth in 2026 and free cash flow over $18 billion, rising to $21 billion by 2028. But with $23 to $24 billion annual CapEx and total debt at $138.41 billion, after the Lumen Fiber acquisition added 1.1 million customers and 4 million locations.
I'd push back. That CapEx plan assumes stable pricing and low churn, while Verizon and T-Mobile court the same households with FWA and bundle discounts. If outages dent Verizon's reliability edge, sure, pressure shifts, but it doesn't automatically translate into AT&T margin expansion with that debt load.
Fair. The takeaway? Regulators are compressing timelines, and carriers have to deliver resilience while sunsetting copper and 2G and pursuing new spectrum-enabled services like D2D, all under tight capital.
One big thing to watch. Grain's D2D application filing by December 4th, 2026. If it lands on time with hard performance metrics, we'll know whether low-band satellite to phone is moving from promise to pipeline.